Well, good morning, Hope College. Hey, it's great to be with you again this morning. I want to say thank you to Hope, you students, for your involvement in the Church of Holland. I don't know if you guys realize the blessing that you are to local churches around here. Your hunger, your questions, your passion, your vibrancy is such a gift to the church. I just love hanging out with you, though it is not uncommon if I'm seen out in public with you that I get questioned if I'm a student or not. But it is great to be with you guys this morning. We are going to be in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. This is what it says. And he, that's Jesus, called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bags for your journey or two tunics, or sandals or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone who will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet, and when you leave that house or town, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." I mean, I think these verses have so much to say about the good news of the gospel. I mean, it is unbelievable to think that Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of the universe, that God would empower us and entrust us with the things that he does. Jesus came proclaiming and demonstrating the message of the kingdom, his kingship, his rulership, his domain. And he not only spoke of it, but he demonstrated it. Healed the sick, cast out demons, fought for justice, loved the unlovely. But not only does he do it, now he empowers and he entrusts his 12 disciples to go out and do the exact same thing he does. Not only the 12, he does it with the 72, and then he does it with us in the Great Commission, sends us out to do the same thing as representatives. And it's unbelievable, as broken, as screwed up, as messed up that we all are, that we are found worthy to be representatives of the gospel of Jesus Christ to do the things that Jesus did. Unbelievable. But that's not even the kicker for me in this verse. Yeah, I think it's awesome that we've been empowered and equipped to go cast out demons, heal the sick, love the unlovely, fight for justice. And you are some of the most passionate people that I've seen about kingdom work. You guys are tenacious and fighters for the injustice in our society, that you go after those that are not loved well. You go after those that are broken and hurting. You go into the darkest places and you fight well. But this morning, I don't want to focus our attention there because I think that is awesome. But I think there's even something more unbelievable in this passage. And that is the good news of the gospel isn't simply that we are called worthy and equipped for the sake of the gospel, where we get to go do stuff. But the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that through the work of Jesus, we are restored into intimacy and relationship with the Father. Like this is just unbelievable to me. Like Jesus sends them out specifically. He says, "I want you guys to go here. Don't go to the Gentiles, go to the Jews." He had a specific calling on them, which was different than where he was sending other people to go. But I think if we read this, we're not careful. It's like, okay, God's all about us just going and doing stuff, which he is about us walking in obedience. He is about us representing him. But the purpose isn't for us just to now give our lives to Jesus and then go do a bunch of stuff for him. That sometimes can turn into legalism and obligation. The beauty of the gospel is that he sends us to go do things because that's where he is. Like the good news of the gospel is this. John 17:3 says this, and this is eternal life, that you would know the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. The beauty of the gospel isn't simply that we can go to heaven when we die or have a nice life now or get to do amazing things in the name of Jesus Christ. Those are all well and good, but the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we get to know the resurrected son of God and the one whom who sent him, the Father. We get to know intimately and personally the creator of the universe and be known by him. But sometimes what gets screwy though is we get so caught up in doing and producing that we forget that everything that the Lord wants us to do is to flow out of intimacy and to flow out of relationship. We get to experience that eternal life now. We get to experience that intimacy now. We get to know God and be known by him now. That's the beauty of the work of Jesus Christ through his death and his resurrection on our behalf. I think that's what's so amazing when he sends out the 12 here. I mean, he sends them out to do all these amazing things, and they see amazing results. But he says something really interesting to him after he gives them where they're supposed to go. He says, hey, don't take anything with you. Don't take any money, don't take any food, don't take any extra clothes, don't pack a bag, don't take any extra sandals or a walking stick. Just go with what you have. And I believe the reason why Jesus sends them out with nothing is because he wants to prove to them that he's not them about just going out and doing stuff, but he wants to walk with them in it and provide for them. I think sometimes some of you are hesitant to walk in the things that God's called you to do because, like, what if he hangs me out to dry? What if he doesn't come through? It's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard. Absolutely, it's going to be difficult. Absolutely, it's going to be hard. But the good news of the gospel is that wherever God sends us, he goes with us. He provides for us in that. So when the disciples go out and God provides step by step, day by day, food that they needed, clothes that they needed, each step along the way, what an opportunity for the God of the universe to reveal to them his personal and intimate love with them. Hope you have an incredible opportunity these 4 or 5 or 6 years that you're here, right? Incredible. Hope College is such a gift. Because it is an environment where you can gather together and grow and be nurtured. And here's the thing, you have a ton of opportunities to serve. You have a ton of opportunities for community. You have a ton of opportunities to do all kinds of things and grow in your gifts. Praise the Lord. That is an incredible gift. But do not become so consumed. Do not become so burdened with having to do all of these things that you forget what God wants most of all is intimacy with himself. I hear too often, I'm too busy for time with the Lord. I'm too busy to hang out with him. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy getting the word and to know him. And so we get busy doing, and we've missed the point of the gospel is that we get to know the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. My prayer for you, Hope College, is that you would use these number of years here to be intentional in the discipline of intimacy with the Lord, that you would be intentional with spending time with him, getting in the word, knowing who he is. Because here's the deal. God will send you out, and sometimes we're under this false assumption that, well, if God's going to send me out, it's going to be easy. It's going to be a piece of cake. That is not at all what he says to the disciples here. He says, some people are going to accept you. Some people are going to reject you. And in fact, the very next verse of what he says here in verse 16 is, I'm sending you out among sheep among wolves. That doesn't sound very inviting, does it? Guys, I'm sending you out, but you are going to get attacked. You are going to get persecuted. You are going to get beaten up. And it's going to be incredibly difficult. And if you go out from this place to the places God calls you, and God's going to call you all over the world. God's going to call you specifically because he knows you intimately. He's going to call you to specific jobs, specific places, specific parts of the world, specific families, specific neighborhoods. But if you go and do not understand or have grown in the intimacy with the Father, you are going to go and you're going to burn out. You're going to go and all of a sudden realize, man, I took no initiative in learning how to have intimacy with the Father on my own. One of the biggest dangers I think we can have in an incredible community like this is that we mistake intentional intimacy and deep relationships with one another for relationships with the Father. And oftentimes, right, we graduate, we get out in the world, and all of a sudden, where's our community? It's gone. We're around a bunch of people that don't love Jesus. We're around a bunch of people who are hostile to the gospel. We're around people that don't think it's awesome to be involved in all of these things and serving the Lord, that, praise the Lord, we are so affirmed at here at Hope College. But if it's based on just simply doing things and there's no intimacy in the Father, everything tends to collapse and crumble because your ability, your gift, and even your ability to serve will not support you when things get difficult. What will is relationship with the Lord. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus sends us out in the Great Commission that we are to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything commanded. And then Jesus' great promise at the end, and surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Some of you need to stop doing it so much. Now keep serving, keep growing your gifts, keep discovering that. But do not, Hope College, do not neglect the intimacy that you have been given to you through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't save you just so you could do a bunch of things. Jesus saved you so that you could know the Father and be known by him. Do not neglect that. Because the Lord will send you out and it will be hard. But the Lord will be with you. So this week, I encourage you, find time to get alone with the Father. Find time to be in prayer. Hold one another accountable to those things. Great you're serving. Great you're involved in this thing. Great you're involved in that thing. But that you would hold each other accountable, not to all the outward things that we do and compare ourselves with each other, that we spur one another on towards intimacy and time with the Lord. Because then we know the Lord's character, and then we can trust him when things get hard. When we know the Lord's character, we can stand firm on who he is and what he says he do. Because the God that we worship always does what he says he's going to do and always is true to his word. Let's pray. God, we pray your blessing over Hope College today. God, we thank you that you've saved us for intimacy with you. We thank you, God, that yes, you've empowered us and equipped us. But God, I pray for a burning heart for Hope College, that they would grow in their desire to know you. God, that you would woo them away to the secret place in the word and prayer, that their heart would be set ablaze for more time with you, God, that you'd give revelation to your character and your nature, God. I pray, God, that they would have a boldness that flows not out of their own gifts and ability, but out of boldness out of your character and your promises. So God, I pray your blessing over them today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace. Have a great day, guys.